Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadon, and with me as always...
This, Richie Byrne.
I am so happy to see it. Today, the pre-show, before we even got into the show, been up and down. Hysterical. I'm already exhausted.
I know. You wanted to go early, because you were like, why are we wasting gold? Comedy gold.
We're in the backstage with our guest tonight.
Yes.
Laughing our asses off, having a great time.
I thought you were done. Were you done?
No, go.
I have to tell you a story. You know how you make fun of me because I can't remember people's names?
Yes. I'm always my grandfather.
Yeah, and I was on the phone with my brother before. My brother's name is Ken. His name is Ken Byrne. Okay, it's very important to the story, Marcus. So,
are you talking documentaries?
Well, we're talking about the Michael Jordan thing, the documentary.
I can't remember people's names.
And what happened there?
Ah, my phone.
Okay, so I go to my brother. You know who said it? He doesn't like it? That guy who does the documentaries. And my brother goes, "Why?" I go, "Who's the guy? The guy who makes all the documentaries?" And my brother goes, "Ken Burns." I go, "Holy shit."
No, not you. The guy who makes the documentary.
I mean, I can't think of the guy's name when I'm talking about Ken Byrne.
Oh, my God.
This Flammer.
He's in the house.
Miss
all right. So,
all the regulars.
Hey, we got the gang all together.
Yeah.
I
couldn't think of his name.
Ken Byrne. You're such a dick.
I'm really stupid. How are you? Good?
I'm good, man. Things are good. I showed you guys earlier, but my kids put their little mini trains on my computer. They put them on my computer for good luck for the podcast.
Well, that's sweet.
It's really nice, except every time I sit down, they fall all over the place.
Well. Nobody put shit on my computer. It's not even my computer. It's Joey St. John's or somebody's. I don't know. Anyway,
do we got to drop in names tonight?
We got to drop in names tonight. It kind of fits with the guest.
We got a theme.
We got a little theme. So we should go to drop in names. This is my. You can find this free on Facebook, and we did a bunch. We aired them every Tuesday on Facebook. And then we ran out because of the pandemic. We weren't able to make more. But I will let everybody in a little secret. We will have more. We will have new ones coming, Mark.
New ones are coming.
New ones are coming.
And if you're not getting enough Richie Byrne, his special is available.
Burned Out.
Burned Out on Vimeo.
Vimeo, baby.
Burned Out on Vimeo on Shameless Self Promotions.
We have that, Shameless Promotions. And the other thing is, look for my joke of the day. I never talk about the joke of the day. I write a joke of the day every night.
He's dropping the mouse on the regular.
The mouse. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
I love that.
But we have a little interesting. The hell was that?
Out in a rush to go get your album.
When they could just download it on Vimeo.
So Burned Out live on Vimeo.
On Vimeo. So this is dropping names.
So I was a younger comic. I was a newer comic, mid-90s, early 90s. And I was taking an acting class in the city, and it was predominantly for other comics. And some big comics came out of there. Bonnie McFarlane was in the class. Mike Royce was big in Hollywood. He did One Day at a Time. He was executive producer One Day at a Time. And Gary Valentine, who's Kevin James's brother, who's from King of Queens, and Jim Gaffigan was in the class. And Jim and I had we were in a contest at Eastside Comedy out in Long Island. And I drove, and Gary knew where it was because he lived out there. I didn't live in Long Island at the time. So Jim jumped in my car and we were gonna follow Gary out to Long Island from Manhattan. And it was raining so hard and Gary didn't care at all. He was driving because he's used to, you know, I don't like driving in the rain and it's coming down really hard and it's before cell phones. And I'm losing Gary, I'm losing him. And the whole time Jim is berating me because I can't keep up with Gary. So I'm being heckled. But only as Jim Gaffigan can. He's like, you're going to lose him. You really should hurry. We don't know where the club is. And I go, Jim, shut the fuck up and let me concentrate. So we got out to the club, and we both got passed for the next round. And I had never worked the club, and I always wanted to. And they gave me a weekend. And the weekend, I was so happy to finally be in that club. And the weekend I was supposed to be there, they padlocked the door, and I never got to play the club.
I love it. I can imagine him heckling you. You're gonna lose him, and then when you lost your mind,
you're not gonna make it. I don't even see Gary.
Then once you yelled at him, he went, "He's really mad." Hey Joel, are you there? Real quick, can you pop out real fast? I wanted to bring this up real fast. Yeah. You have a bunch of different shows on here. It's not just Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. We have a bunch of other shows that are on this channel.
Yeah, we have Mass Hysterical Show with Alan Massenburg. That's on Wednesday mornings. We have EAF with my sister that we focus on a different entrepreneur each and every Monday. This Monday is going to be Gino Vento, our good friend of Gino Steaks. Hey. So, yeah, a bunch of different shows. I don't hate it. All right. Good show, guys.
You just had a new show join on with Gary Allen, right? I watched the first episode last night. It was really fun.
Yeah, Gary Allen last night. His guest was hitting on Joey. It's a great time.
So when I decided to come up with a bit called Shameless Promotions, you guys decided that this was your way to really fucking be shameless and show you. Jesus.
I wanted to argue. Shameless self-promotions.
Have a good show, guys. I love Chris Roach.
We will now.
I wanted to bring it up. Our good friend who has another show on here, Gary Allen, is tuned in.
Gary
and
Allen.
Watching, and he has a good show. He gave us a little plug. I wanted to return the favor.
All right.
I wanted to give us a little shameless.
Thank you, Gary. Promotion. Thank you for giving us a plug. That was nice.
And so Bye. Now... We Gary, can get to our guest.
Yeah. I can tell you, you know, they say your next act has been on, right? But you can say a lot of things about this guy. He's been on a lot of things. But I can honestly tell you, your next act just got out of the shower.
He's fresh. He is ready to go.
But we got a clip first. We got a clip.
We're going to play a clip, and then we're going to bring out.
He was on.
Let me tell you something. If you love almonds and you love milk, you'll hate almond milk. You know what I did? You know what I did? I dipped a homemade chocolate chip cookie into almond milk, and my grandmother came back from the dead and kicked me in the crotch. It's offensive.
Folks, let's bring them out.
Yeah.
The always delightful and fresh smelling Chris Roach, everybody.
Hi, Chris Roach.
He's a thespian. He's a humorist.
How are you, my friend?
Good. I just ran to the kitchen, got another beer because your producer is very thorough in his email, but he didn't let me know I was going to be watching you guys for 20 minutes.
You know, everybody says that, Mark.
The what?
I like that you've chosen to be in a legitimate green room.
And special shout out to Joel for washing his sex sheets before he used them as a backdrop. That's really nice.
Everybody says that too. Now, can I just tell you that this is an exciting day for you because you now have Chrome.
I now have Chrome. I just downloaded Chrome.
You updated your life.
I don't even know what Chrome was. They like, would you like Chrome or Firefox? I'm like, I never heard of either one of them, so I guess.
Well, what did you use?
What
would you
use? In Safari?
Oh, Safari.
It's 1995 with Chris Roach.
I know. I have a new email for like the last 6 months because I didn't know that if you had an AOL email address that made you look old. I thought I was being responsible by keeping the same email address for 20 years.
People make fun of you. When
instead of haha Chris Roach at AOL, it's haha Chris Roach at Gmail.
And people are actually going, haha, Chris Roach. AOL, haha. So what's going on? How you holding up?
Oh, man.
You must be dying with no hockey.
No, it's like, it's like one thing to be quarantined, but there's like no sports. And the hockey is like,
And the Rangers had a shot.
The Rangers were one of the hottest teams in the league.
Yeah.
I do like that you guys waited to episode 94 to pick me, which was the year they won the Stanley Cup.
Well, so, we asked you to do episode one. You finally just showed up.
Sorry. You know what? I was always trying to pair up your podcast with doing a set of the comic strip since you guys were there, and it just never seemed to. I was never running out of excuses.
You and Don Jameson with your multitasking when you go in the city.
The comic strip before you can get a set there, Chris.
What happened?
You have to pass at the comic strip before you can get a set there.
No, I'm waiting to meet Starla. I keep going there. I'm like, is Starla here? They go, no, she's not here. I'm like, all right. And I try another few months later. So you have her.
Well, I quit going after Lucian, but
I never got to meet that guy.
So the Rangers were hot. Brian Fleming says the Flyers would have killed the Rangers, Chris.
The Flyers, man, the Flyers been great, especially with Alain Vigneault. What a great coach, man. I mean, he's got a great record. A winning record from the Canucks to the Rangers to the Flyers. Did I ever tell you guys, like, first of all, as a kid, man, I hated the Flyers, especially the 1980s teams. And then, like, 2 years ago, I did a comedy show for them.
For the Flyers?
Comedy show for them. It was the Claude Giroux Foundation. And I went down there, and it was in a place that is, you know, everything's in that one area, all the arenas.
Yeah. And that's the best part about Philly. No matter how drunk you are, you can get to the game. You go, sports!
Philly's crazy. And the place where they were holding the show was kind of like a giant sports bar, but they said it was the old Spectrum. I remember the Spectrum. The Rangers playing at the Spectrum. Those afternoon games where the sunlight would come down from one of the doors or something like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was so weird. Like, I'm doing comedy and I'm looking down at the Philadelphia Flyers and, like, I don't see a Dave Brown. I don't see a Rod Brindamore. I see kids.
Yeah.
Kids that are laughing at me. You know, they were nice enough to laugh at what I was saying, but it's such a young game now.
Yeah. Well, every game. We're old, dude. We're old.
No, bro.
We're very old.
You know you're old when you watch a player get drafted and have a full career and retire?
Yeah, and then no, he's worse when his kid starts playing.
When his kid stops playing,
that's the worst.
Yes,
who was it I was watching? I can't remember, and I'm like, how could this guy still be playing?
Yes,
how is it possible? It's his kid.
I love the NHL. I'm like, is that so and so? Like, no, that was his father. I'm like,
like Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees.
Right.
His father played and his grandfather played. So some guys out there were going, oh my God. Like I haven't had that happen yet. When some grandkid starts playing, like if Ken Griffey Jr.'s kid starts playing, you're like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Wow, that's longevity. The guy's been in for 30 years.
Yeah, this guy never quits. Jeez.
That's his grandkid.
Like Tom Brady?
Right? The Rangers have some.
Someone's going, wow, is that Tom Brady's kid? No, that's Brady. That's great.
The Rangers have Claude Lemieux's kid on the team. Claude Lemieux, one of the most hated players, and now he's his son is like him, an instigator.
Yeah.
But a good hockey player, man. Oh.
You have a hockey podcast, right?
I did, but it did.
Yeah, well, I mean, three people watch hockey.
You get two of them. You got the crowd.
It was a niche podcast, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
And you have another podcast, right?
I have one podcast, actually two now. One's called Long Island Explained. We talk about, of course, Long Island topics.
Tell the audience, it's a cool idea for a podcast. Go
ahead. Yeah, Amityville. Amityville Horror. You know, the whole Joey Buttafuoco thing. We've interviewed Long Islanders like Steve Guttenberg. We just did Adam Ferrara the other day. You know who we interviewed? Richie, you're from Long Island. You may remember.
I didn't grow up here though. But go ahead.
You remember Katie Beers?
Sure, Katie Beers. Yeah.
Katie Beers was kidnapped from the guy across the street. He built a dungeon in a house, and he kept her there for like 2 months. We found her. She's happily married, living in Pennsylvania. She's like an activist.
Found her in the dungeon, or
huh?
You found her in the dungeon?
No, we didn't find her in the dungeon. Oh, I forgot how they found her. The guy built a dungeon. All he left for her was like a spackle bucket for a bathroom, and he left her a almost like a baby monitor.
Yeah.
And that was headline news in the 80s, and we got in touch with her. She's really cool. And you know, it's like my co-host Steve Belanger is from Fall River, Massachusetts, which is the home of Lizzie Borden.
I was about to say 40 Wax.
40 Wax. And he does all the research. He's the brains, and I'm learning things about Long Island that I never knew, like the Brookhaven National Laboratory was once a like one of those what they call them. You remember those camps they put all the Japanese Americans in World War II?
Concentration camp. Yeah.
We had one over here. We had Nazis that tried to invade the South Shore. So many things. Like Hitler had relatives that moved here and changed their name and stuff like that. Crazy.
Yeah, they changed their name to Roach.
They changed it to Roash. That's what I get. Like if somebody calls me for money, like a bill collector, hi, can we speak to Mr. Roash? I'm like, no, it's Roach. Thank you. Thanks for trying.
You are cutting us off here. We're almost 20 minutes in. The name of the show is Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. So you're supposed to tell us what you're drinking. Mark and I haven't even done that. So you're drinking
a Corona.
Kind of hacky, but okay.
I ran out of all my Heineken Lights, and this is my wife's.
Okay, so Corona.
My wife rarely drinks beer, but she'll get a Corona with the lime. But I'm a Heineken Light guy. So.
Right.
I got to go out and buy some more with my unemployment check tomorrow.
Do you have unemployment? Because I can't get through.
Yeah, I went on right away.
That's bullshit. No one went on sooner than me, and I cannot get unemployment.
It's so weird. Then my wife got like one check, and then she didn't get checks for 3 weeks, and now she just got another check. It's really strange, and I don't know how they came up with the amount.
Yeah, I'm very upset because I really need it, and I just can't get through.
Yes, and they had me upload they had me upload every 1099 from December of 2018. It took like an hour, and I don't know how they came up this number, but I was expecting more. But I'm happy I'm getting anything.
Well, see, for me, I have the Oz thing, so when I'm off in the summer, I get unemployment. I'm eligible for unemployment.
Oh, you fall in the summer?
And I can't get it now because everybody's taking it now. So it's pissing me off. Hey, Michael Smith, how are you?
I haven't gotten a dollar. I haven't got my tax return. I haven't got my stimulus. I haven't gotten unemployment. Put in for all of it.
Now,
I got none of it.
And what are you drinking, Mark?
I'm drinking Fifth Note Cellars Merlot.
Nice.
I'm drinking whiskey. I'm drinking scotch. I'm drinking beer.
Johnny Black, baby.
Johnny Black. Wow. That's
cheers, fellas. It's good to see you. Good to see your faces.
And you're supposed to have a joke. We didn't warn you ahead of time.
You got a joke for us, Chris Roach?
You have a street joke?
I'm not much of a street joke guy. I'm trying to think of something.
Do one of my jokes like you do on stage.
I love you.
You and I do have like four jokes.
Yes, I remember you came up with
the same for the punchline. And I'll tell you two of them. One is you juiced a roast beef, and I say I juiced a chicken cutlet Parmesan hero.
No, you came up to me one time, you're like, do you do a bit about dipping the Eucharist into the Cinnabon sauce? I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I was so close to saying when you said we do a couple of jokes that are similar, I go, and it's very, it's no thing. I actually got those jokes out of a joke book, but
I was working with, I think it was this guy, Mike Fenoya, really good guy. Good guy.
I know Mike.
He opens up for the Impractical Joker guys.
Yeah.
He's on stage and he's doing, it was at the Borgata. He's going on before me and he's doing all these bits about ancestry DNA. I'm like, oh my God. And I have a whole chunk on it. But I felt, all of a sudden, I felt like that guy that's going to, I got to walk up to him and go, hey, just so you know, I'm doing the ancestry DNA bit too. You know? It's the worst feeling. You're like, oh, I finally got a topic that no one else touched.
Well, I used to have a bit about that was a music bit about my dad would never finish a song. He'd just start singing a song and he'd cut off right at the big note, like, and did it my. And he wouldn't finish. And he'd be like, and I worked with a comic. And the next night, the next day, the comic goes in to meet with the sound guy early because he's got a whole bit about how his mom sings songs. And the sound guy's like, yeah, that's Richie's bit. And the guy's like, no, it's totally different. It's totally different. And the guy's like,
it's my mom. It's not my dad. Completely different joke.
And the sound guy was like, if you get up on stage and do that tonight, you're never working this fucking club again. Because the guy was like, hey, how about you? If you're going to steal from me, could you wait till the weekend's over?
Right. I mean, there is what we call, us comics call, parallel thinking, but that's too
specific. No, that's too specific. He saw my act and the next day had a great idea.
No, mine's completely different because I have a Jersey accent. Completely different.
Different. Not like, the same. I mean, you know, with different characters.
So you don't have a joke?
I always like...
Come on, you hang out with Monty.
I'm playing. Any jokes I have are from Monty.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Or... Joe Starr is like, I drove him to a gig one time. He just one and the other.
I know, it's unbelievable.
I'm trying to think of one that's like not too dirty.
You can go dirty. You can be dirty.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can be dirty.
If anybody complains, we'll just say Richie told him.
There's one joke they said, there was, and I'm not the best street joke teller, but it was two gay guys.
You're not that good. The regular jokes either. So go ahead.
Two gay guys.
Oh boy.
The one comes home from work right away, right? The one comes home from work and he goes, okay, it's your birthday today, so we're gonna play a game.
I just told this to Mark the other night.
Is it?
I didn't tell it on you, Mark. Didn't I just tell you this joke? I can't believe you.
It's one of my favorite jokes.
Because
nobody's getting hurt. It's not offensive.
He didn't do it on air. He told it in the green
room. I told it off air, but go ahead. Tell the joke.
So the one guy says, it's your birthday. We're going to play hide and seek. Is this the right one?
Yeah.
We're going to play hide and seek. Okay. If you find me, I'll blow you. If you can't find me, I'll be behind the couch.
Because a buddy of mine wrote on the live comments the other night, is that Richie behind the couch? And Joe goes, what does that mean?
I love that joke.
It's a great joke.
I mean, would it be funny if it was just a guy coming home and the wife said, if you find me, you know, it's for some reason it's funnier with two men. I don't know.
I don't know why, but it is. You're right. It's not
because a wife would never allow there to be games.
Yeah, maybe that's
good. The premise would be blown when it was my wife said, you want to play a game? I go, that never happened.
Joe told me one joke that made me drive off the road.
Start.
And it's not even like, it's, I don't know if I could do it justice. He said, did you ever have sex with a girl rodeo style? And I said, no. He goes, it's... What you do is when you're having sex with her from behind, you whisper into her ear something like, I just had sex with your sister, and you hold on for 7 seconds.
Right.
Or you whisper in her ear, you are the ugliest C word I've ever seen. And then you hold on for 7 seconds.
Deanna wants to know if you got any jokes about the lady who needs to wash her clothes at your house because the machine broke.
What happened?
Remember?
Hey, Deanna, got any jokes about the lady who needs clothes from you? Yeah. Oh my God. Who is that woman? There is a woman. Every post I put on Facebook, she comments, "Hey, if you have any clothes, drop them up." Like it's one.
It's probably a sexual thing, and you don't know what it means.
I don't know. And then she's like, "Hey, if you can drop off any food to, I could really use some food." I'm like, "Who are you?" And you know, and I look at her profile, and her picture's like this. Just like she's like,
she's her looking, eyeball. I'm she's like, looking in your window.
Is somebody harassing me?
Is I think you're getting harassed.
No, I think someone's hot for you.
She's like, meet me at the 7-Eleven at 110, and please, if you have any extra clothes, I'm like, ah.
Beautiful. Joel wrote, she spells socks, S-O-X.
You're going to fit into my clothes? We needed a new we need new curtains. If you could drop your sweatpants off.
So, I'm actually trying to keep this interview on track. And you're doing an amazing job of just completely derailing it.
I didn't take my Adderall today.
Very proud of you. Now, you, not only are you an amazing comedian, but you're also a damn good actor, my friend.
Yes.
You've done a lot.
Chris Roach has an amazing body of work.
And an amazing body.
Yes, I do.
And yeah.
Marcus, see me on the beach.
He will hold it against you.
Marcus, see me on the beaches of North Carolina.
That's right. I was telling them off stage. I go, I was down there working, and Roach was just there, but then his family was vacationing.
Well, you and Ed came out. We had a great time on the beach.
I've never felt so comfortable with a family.
I know.
I walked in. I'm just like, hey, what's up? Like
he's under one of the cabanas, hanging out, getting drunk.
I'm not even comfortable with my family.
Oh, I love drinking at the beach. I was one time I was there with Monty when I was working for Ed down at the Outer Banks, and I guess we were drinking, and you know when we're in the water with our beers, and I'm more concerned about getting wiped out by a wave, but I'm not really concerned because I'm drinking about the sun beating on my back for 2 hours, and I had like the worst sunburn. You know, sunburn, and the worst is when sunburn, it like starts healing, and it feels like somebody takes like little needles and starts going. I was freaking out. I was rubbing vinegar on it. Anything the internet said to do, rub vinegar. If they said rub dog shit on it, I would rub dog shit on my sunburn. I wish the story had a better ending, but
dude,
I was about to say you've worked on many shows. You were on the Michael J. Fox show.
Yes, and I got to meet him at a Ranger game, and I said, "Hey, man."
Oh, that's right.
I said to him, "I said I was on your show. I had a small part. I really enjoyed it." He's like, "Oh, thank you very much." And I didn't get to meet him that day. It was just a scene, which was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, you know. It's
we have it.
We have a clip.
Oh.
Cranberry sauce? You can't buy cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving.
You don't even have one can.
Chuck, do we have any cranberry sauce?
You can't buy cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving.
That's what I said.
If you're not going to bother selling Thanksgiving stuff on Thanksgiving, why are you even open?
So people want to get a jump on their Christmas shopping.
You can tell them we got plenty of candy canes.
I was about to. Look, if you're on break, then take your break, Chuck.
We have candy canes.
Let's find a better store.
A lot of judgment coming from the guy who waited until the last minute to buy cranberry sauce.
That guy was great. And you know what?
Sometimes he's a great actor, man. He's been in everything.
And I know he looked familiar, but when I saw his name, I'm like, I don't want to look up his resume. I'll get intimidated. But he was one show I haven't watched where he's from is The Wire that everybody was
so good. Yeah.
Did any of you guys see The Wire?
Yeah.
He was on NYPD Blue. He was the candy man on NYPD Blue. He was so good.
It's supposed to be great. And I just saw him in.
I just saw him too on.
Clemency?
Blue Bloods?
Well, no, he's in a movie called Clemency, which looks really good on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet.
What was the show? I think it was Blue Bloods. He did a whole season. I forget.
He was on Treme, too. He was really good.
He's a great actor. Been in everything.
Solid.
Wish we knew his name, but we don't.
Oh, that's I don't know anybody. Richie, you're going to pretend you know his name? You don't even know Ken Burns, right. Your brother.
Well, I heard you talking about Ken Burns. When I was messing around with like...
You met my brother, Ken Burns.
Oh, your brother? Yeah, your brother's taller than me.
No, that's my brother, John. John Burns. Kenny's tall, too, but John's like 6'8".
Yeah, Ken Burns. The only time I've heard Ken Burns is when I'm messing around with a movie and they ask me if I want to use the Ken Burns effect. Is that it?
It's yeah, like, there's a documentary.
Documentary.
Documentary filmmaker, and he changed the way documentaries were shot. So baseball, they called it the Ken Burns show. Baseball.
Thank you, Ken Burns.
But yeah, you met my brother because you opened for me. You were nice enough to open for me at St. George Theater a year ago.
Yeah, that was fun.
May 3rd on Joel's birthday.
That was fun.
We have some photos from that.
Look at
was that from the theater? Or was that prom 1982?
That was
first gay couple.
Then we had a third wheel.
There's the third wheel cock blocking you. If you can't find Richie, he's behind the pool table.
Richie, that photo made me uncomfortable for a minute. We looked very relaxed in each other's arms.
We did. We looked like we belong.
I was meant for you. Look at the lady in the back's looking at you too, like, oh, take it somewhere else.
We look like the perfect couple right there. Are you kidding me?
That's hysterical. I don't know.
And who said gay men are handsome?
Why? Very comfortable. Supposed to be drinking for hours there too.
Oh, you think?
Get over here. I love you, man.
You were in that. We have a scene. You were in I forgot the name of the movie, the show.
Wait, thanks, Mike. Thanks, guy.
Instinct. You were really good.
Yeah. So you told Sergeant Harris that you murdered Thomas O'Hare.
The milk, honey, those smells. His screams, they won't go away.
Where did you do it?
I can't live with it anymore. It went too far. It was wrong.
What did you take, Lon?
Get an ambulance over here.
Excessive thirst, pink skin, and the smell of bitter almonds. This man ingested cyanide.
Yeah. I gotta tell you.
Alan Cumming.
I ingested cyanide after I saw that performance.
Alan Cummings was going, oh, my God, I have to touch him after he did the performance like that?
You know what's funny is that, you know, when you do a show, you give him like 20 takes. And when I saw the death scene, I'm like, that's the one they chose where I'm like. my eyes roll up. I'm like.
I saw Alan Cummings on Broadway. In the Scottish play, and he played every role. It was a one-man show of Macbeth. It was unbelievable.
I got sick. Believe it or not, I got sick during that scene. I guess because it was such a low budget, they didn't have a stuntman, and they had a pad on the floor about that thick. They had me fall off because single camera. They had me fall off that chair. I'm not kidding. Like 20 times.
Really?
And when I got up after the 15th time, I was like. Everything was moving. I got a little vertigo from just the impact of hitting the floor so many times. And I walked up. I was like, I had to have like an EMA T guy take my pulse, and it was weird.
You're so devoted to your craft.
I was. I did a thing for GE where I was in San Francisco, and we were doing interviews with these scientists. And GE put us up in these fancy places when we'd go. We show up, we go to get our room key. They give us champagne, and they were like, this seems like a really fancy place. And then we looked over. Alan Cummings was the entertainer in the lobby, in the lounge, doing his one-man show. And I was like, yeah, I think this is pretty high-end. I think this is pretty fancy.
Wow. they cut the scene in the middle, and I walked up to Alan. I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. He had a... both him and the actress, they had, what are those therapy dogs?
Really?
They had, each of them had their own little dog. Both of the dogs walked in, laid on the floor, and didn't make a peep. I kept falling, and the dog, as I hit the floor, I look, and the dog's looking at me like, what's going on? Just laying there.
Yeah, Mark and I have therapy drinks.
Yeah. There's a, I have my therapy bottle next to me.
But dude, you've done a lot of impressive work.
You have done a lot of work, man.
You're very shy about it. You don't really talk about it.
You're a humble man.
Humble or terrified and superstitious.
Well, I don't know. You're saying you didn't want to look up that other actor because you were afraid you'd be intimidated.
Yeah, even when I started working with Kevin, I would never like I'll be channel surfing and I'll see one of his movies. I'm like, I can't look at it because I'm trying to get him to know him as a person. And here's another name drop. I did an independent film with Al Pacino. And
no, you didn't think that wasn't where I was going?
Okay.
Let's roll the clip.
Now,
impose on your work, I mean, but this is not begin. I mean, could you help me here?
That won't be necessary.
Okay.
Were you sexually involved with Sybil?
No. Please, no. No, no. I mean, this is a young woman in her early 30s at best. No, I just, she was a misguided fan. That's what she was.
Wow. Now,
three lines chopped down to one.
How? That was your only line? That's.
It started as three lines. Now, you want to talk about being humble. When I first got that part, I went around telling like all my comic friends that I got it, and I was like so happy. They canceled the part. And I was devastated, and I felt like an ass. And then, like 2 weeks later, the casting director calls me back. She goes, they have another part. It's for the role of a detective. You want to come in? I'm like, yeah. And I came in red fur, and they gave me the part. But it was because of that that when I got – when Kevin approached me and Rock about being on the show, I didn't tell anybody because I was so superstitious and paranoid that I was going to ruin it. Yeah. And there's a few like close friends of mine that got mad. Like, how could you not tell me? I'm like, I didn't even tell my father. I was waiting for it to be finalized, you know? But yeah that was working with Al Pacino. I bought this coat I'm wearing there, that trench coat. I bought it from like the men's warehouse just for the scene. And I'm like, I'm going to return it. It's like $80. When am I going to wear it again? It's still in my closet. And
it's your Al Pacino jacket.
Yeah. After the director said cut, you know, once they say cut, it's madness because people are walking everywhere and moving lights. And all of a sudden, I was looking this way, and I felt, and I looked down, and Al Pacino's like, you gave me a lot of good stuff to work with. I was like, I'll never return this coat ever.
Wow.
He touched my coat.
That's your fucking Al Pacino coat, baby.
You know, Jeffrey Paul. Do you know Jeffrey?
I know the name. Yeah, yeah. Why do I know the name?
He's a Staten Island guy. He was in The Irishman. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What
scene?
I don't think he understood. He was like one of the Pacino's henchmen. I don't know. I never saw the movie. So, but I don't think he understood the people he was working with. Because like I think he was ignorant. I'm like, so what was that like? He goes, oh yeah, I went in, I did the scenes. I'm like, no, but what was it like? Did you meet them? And he goes, yeah. He told his story. Where he was walking behind Pacino, Pacino tripped, and Jeffrey grabbed him, or he would have fallen, and Pacino just goes, "My hero,
my hero."
And I'm like, "That's a cool story." He's like, "Man," I'm like, "Wow, all right, good for you, man." I would have been freaking out.
He was a really good guy. He was funny, and we filmed it in Barry Levinson's house in Connecticut.
Was it Barry Levinson film?
Yeah, he was the director and an independent film. And it was just insane being at Barry Levinson's house. And there was one time we're filming and we cut. I guess they had to change the film or whatever they had to do. And I'm looking around the room and there's Al standing in front of me. He's looking around the room. And I looked at him and a voice in my head said, "Holy shit, that's Al Pacino." And then my anxiety started kicking. I'm like, okay, you belong here. Then you belong here. You belong here. You worked hard. Calm down. You're a professional. But yeah, you could freak out easily. Like, I never want to know the actor's resume until it's done. And then I'll look up and go, holy crap.
And you did all of these were before Kevin Can Wait.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I remember you telling me, maybe you don't want to talk about this, but I remember you telling me that there were people. Kevin really wanted you for Kevin Can Wait.
Yeah.
But other people wanted someone with more experience, right?
Yeah, and that worked it. And Kevin said, no, this is the guy. And I found that out later on. I was so like, holy crap.
I mean, it's interesting that because you've had a lot of experience. I mean, you've done a lot of, I mean, maybe small roles, but you did a lot before then.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, you know what's interesting? As comics, I don't know about you guys, but I always had the mindset like, I gotta get into the Montreal Comedy Festival. I gotta get into the Comedy Cellar. I gotta get into the Montreal Comedy Festival. And I'd always get turned down. So here I am like trying to get into these two things. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes from my house, from Ronkonkoma, McGuire's Comedy Club, he walked in on a Wednesday night and saw me. And I didn't find out until, you know, I went to the city, I auditioned for the part. I didn't find out until later on that when he walked into, I was opening for, it was a Wednesday night, Colin Quinn was trying out a new show.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Oh, it ended up on Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, like 4 years ago, he was working it out.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Kevin walked in, I didn't meet him that night, but I found out later on that somebody whispered to him, like, that's the guy. Like, they were looking for that type. And somebody told me that, yeah, he casted you right then and there for that 10 minutes I did in Bohemia. So I'm, like, here we are, we're trying to, we're always trying to, like, get into these festivals or these clubs, and I got discovered 10 minutes from my house in Bohemia.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, I knew that story. You know, a few months ago, back in maybe December, November, I stopped by Governor's on a Sunday. No, on a Thursday. And, it, you know, and they have the charity shows and, you know, and if you get there, Jimmy will put you up and all. And I said, let me go to Governor's and do it, see if I can get a spot. So I go to Governor's and Jimmy goes, go in the green room. And I go in the green room. And who's in the green room? Joey Cola.
Right.
I go, hey. And then I turn around and it's like all these right. Pete Coryell.
Really?
The other guy who can't
Loftus.
Michael
Loftus.
And I'm like, what are you guys all doing here? And they're like, yeah, we're all working on Kevin's new show and we're all doing a spot tonight. I go, oh, whatever. So then Rock walked in. Hey, Rock, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. So I hadn't seen Rock in. So actually, I saw him at Kevin Can Wait, but before that, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. So Jimmy goes, puts me up. So I go up and when I fit, and I go up and the first joke doesn't really hit.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's this Thursday night. I don't know if I care. All of a sudden I look up and in the back of the room is Rock Rubin. And I've known Rock, but like, and now I go, oh, I can't bomb.
Oh, shit. I got to bring it.
I know.
That's a really big mistake. So I like, bang, go into it. You know what I mean? Like, bang.
Yeah.
And I did good. I did really good. And I come off and Cole is in the back with Jimmy Dolce at once in the audience. And I walk over to them and Joey goes, I'm glad you did well, man. I didn't want to tell you this, but look behind Rock. And Kevin is sitting right behind Rock.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm like, thank God I saw Rock because I was about to just phone it in.
You know, they're always, you know? Kevin's always looking, man. He's always looking. Yeah. He comes to the clubs. He loves Long Island comedy. He's always back there looking.
Yeah. Well, I never got a call like you. So.
Bro.
So you did you? So you go into McGuire's.
Yeah.
You don't even know. You don't even. It's not a big deal.
I didn't even know Kevin. Some people think that we knew. I didn't know him until like 2 months later when I saw him at the Governor. Maybe a few weeks later I saw him at the Governor's green room, and we had a friend in common that passed away. Believe it or not, that he named the first season of Kevin Quay. There was a guy, Lenny Venito, who played a guy named Duffy.
Yeah.
And Duffy was
– Lenny Venito was a great actor.
He was great. He was, yeah.
And a nice guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah. And Duffy was named after Tim Duffy, who was a guy that my brother was friends with that Kevin knew from when he was I think Kevin knew him from when he was bouncing out in Port Jefferson. And coincidentally, too, I bounced at the same bar as Kevin did, and I never knew him until Governor's, the green room. But yeah, like you're saying, like you see these actors on TV and then you get to see them in person. It's like you're trying to forget who they are. It took me a while.
Did he base your character on, wasn't your character based on that friend or was Lenny's character based?
Lenny's character was. When I saw Kevin, like a couple weeks before we started filming, I saw him at the brokerage with Rock and he says, we're thinking about naming the character Roach. I'm like, go ahead. I don't care. You know, before they came up with Mott. I was thinking about naming the character Roach. I'm like, go ahead. And he looked at me and he goes, keep the beard. I'm like, all right, because I had the, you know.
You were totally clueless.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting into. Just even like season two, like we were rehearsing in the Monkey Fist security office. And I'm sitting at a table rehearsing at this small round table, and Kevin's on my left and Leah's on my right. And there were those moments like that where I'd be like, holy shit. You know, these moments where it didn't escape me what was happening.
Right.
I was nervous. And I remember Leah taking her phone and she leaned over and she's like, could you help me get past this level of Candy Crush? I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And that just like 200 pounds fell off my back because I was so nervous. I mean, I hadn't talked to her since, you know.
You know what? I'll tell you a funny – I should actually put this in dropping names. She was on the Dr. Oz show, and she's something. She really is something. And so we're shooting the show. She's not out yet. So her segment's later, right? So there's these sliding doors that lead off the set, and then there's like all wardrobe and you know, everybody's out there who isn't needed on the set. And every once in a while, people get a little loud, and it's not really my job, but I'll like open the doors and go, shh, you know, and just shush everybody. So this one day I wasn't in a great mood. I open the doors and I go, shh. And then I go, it's just a friggin' TV show going on here, people. And there's a girl sitting in a chair, like right below me, and she just goes, ha! And it's Leah, Remy. She just fell in love with me. The whole show, she's like calling me over, and every time she came on the show, she's like, everybody better be quiet. Everybody better. So it was just funny. I really made
it. Oh, yeah. She's definitely, off camera, she's just as funny.
She's hysterical. She's really funny.
She was like, during the week of Christmas, like right before we broke for Christmas, she bought like all the cast gifts. And I go into my dressing room and there's a box, Chris from Leah. I'm like, holy crap. I think I still have the card. And it was just like a regular black light jacket. And I put it on on the sleeves and it's like, right? It's obviously not my size. So I'm just so flattered that I got a gift from Leah Remini. It's in my closet right over here. That
everything's in your closet.
Later on.
Including Richie Byrne.
Quiet down in there. I saw her like between takes and I walked up to her. I'm like, Leah, that was so nice. Thank you so much. She goes, oh my God, my assistant and I, we were looking on Instagram trying to figure out what kind of guy you are and what you were like. I'm like, no, it was so nice of you. I love it. She goes, does it fit? I'm like, yes, it fits. Thank you. Well, I was so blown away that she bought me something and that. Right. Yes, it fits. Yes.
Well, the truth is out now because Leah's backstage. No, I'm kidding.
she was when she used to do those Quaker Steak and Lube, the Quaker Steak oil commercials. It was like her and Dennis Leary were the two spokesmen. Do you remember that?
Wow.
It was before she was famous. I had such a crush on her. I was like in junior high school. I was like,
she's beautiful. Even in person, she's so beautiful. Oh my God.
And she went up against the Tom Cruise, the
Scientology.
It's like, yeah, the Scientology. Like she.
We should have told Richie it was the Ken Burns gang.
Yeah, I can't. She was on the show because she had her own show where she was debunking Scientology.
Yep.
And I remember I said, I go, you're a tough cook.
She's a tough woman. You know?
Well, hey, we're talking about Kevin can wait. Let's play the clip.
You really think Stakes are going to fix this?
No. That's why I also got him Despicable Me on Blu-ray.
Those minions, man. They just don't listen.
Bad news on the DVR.
What's up?
You don't want to know.
Would you hit me?
Say Yes to the Dress, 14 episodes, some of them repeats.
My doctor took x-rays and said that the jelly that goes between my top two vertebrae is gone.
It's not the jelly that's gone, guy. It's weakness.
No, he showed it to me. It's jelly. but I'm taking my chore result. If any of you guys want to join us, you're more than welcome.
I would, but every time I turn my head to the left, I smell toast.
That was great. Oh, man, what an incredible dream come true. That was just unbelievable. You know, like, we ate so much. My father used to say to me, how come you're always eating on that show?
Always eating on that show.
And Kevin, one thing Kevin wanted, he didn't want the show to look what he called sitcom-y. So the pizza, they had warmers on the side. The food that we got was hot. So I would go into, when I knew I had a scene, like the props girl go, tomorrow's scene, what do you want to eat? I'm like, can I get a meatball hero? No palm. And she's like, yeah. And I would go into each scene hungry. And like, if I took two bites off the meatball hero, she came back with a brand new one for continuity. It was great. The pizza was from La Scala and Comac, I think.
That's my favorite thing is when you hear like a Hollywood actor talking about like doing eating scenes. They're like, oh, you'll never want to eat that again. You're spitting into a bucket. You're right.
Yeah.
You talk to a New York actor, they're like, oh, so much food.
Yeah, so great. You're right.
And, you know, they call that the Hollywood bite, whatever. When actors talk and eat, they only take small bites.
Yeah.
And interesting
on film. You want to?
I was at the show, and I wish we had the clip where you. It was so funny where you were eating spaghetti or something.
Oh, it was pho,
right? And Kevin didn't. You loved it, and he didn't want you to like it, you were eating it. And you looked up at him, and it was hanging.
I came up with, like, after the fourth take, I'm like, I'm going to try something.
I was at that show.
And I came up with a mouthful of noodles, and I looked at him, and...
And then he just sucked it in.
Yeah.
And I remember coming up to you after the show, I go, was that ad-libbed? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, that was fucking brilliant, man. How Kevin didn't crack was beyond me.
I loved it when he cracked. It was the best, because sometimes he would crack. You know, one scene that made him crack a lot was with Joe Starr. Joe was playing Enzo.
Yeah.
And he would go, Enzo, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 37. And Kevin was like, really? And just the face that Joe made at him, it was like, after like 10 takes, he couldn't look at Joe anymore. He goes, Joe, do me a favor. Just because the look said, you know, Joe, so much.
Yeah, Joe's great.
Oh, he's so good.
I'm 37. Yeah. So what do you got going on now? You got anything going on during this pandemic? Are you?
He reaches for the bottle.
Are you doing any of your own shows or anything? Podcasts? Anything? Nothing? No. You always got things going on. Let me tell you a story about this man. It was July 3rd, about 3 years ago, maybe four.
He just got back from NAMM.
I was going to buy a car. I was going to buy a new car. And I get a phone call. Chris Roach. July 3rd. Go, hey, what's up, man? You sing, right? What? You can sing, right? Can you sing, right? Yeah, I can sing. Can you be at Governor's in an hour? I'm making a video. And I need someone who can sing. Dude, I'm on my way out to buy a car. Oh, man. I'm like, thanks for the heads up. Like, it was an hour before shoot. You were like, come out. And it was Ron Kokomo,
yes. I wanted you to sing backup or something.
Yes. But you were like so, like, all you had to do was call me 2 hours before I would have changed my plans. But you, like, waited an hour. Like, I felt so, like, it was almost like, I feel like you called 48 other people first and went, you sing, right?
You sing.
And they were all like, no. And you're like, oh, don't make me call Richie Byrne.
All right.
God I'm damn up to beat.
But it's a very funny video. And guess what? We got a little outtake from it.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego.
Ah, forget that. You know where I really wanna go?
Where? Off the Long Island Sound. There's a place called Ron Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it
it all. A once polluted lake, an urban myth to make your bones shake. If you wanna find me, I'll be riding the Long Island Railroad down to Ronkonkoma.
Penn Station, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you. Mineola, then Hicksville, come on baby, sit still. Farmingdale, then Deer Park,
ooh, you know we're almost at Ronkonkoma. We'll take the train, cause the express train's slow.
I think I had too much to drink.
Watching all these videos makes me realize I got to start coloring my beard again.
You had a serious beard there, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a goatee going now. You know why I got rid of the beard? I was in the comic strip, New York City, and this drunk woman sees me after the show, and she's like, I love your chemistry with that character. I'm like, and I'm trying to figure out what she's talking about. That show, Parks and Recreations, you and that girl, you're my favorite. I'm like, that's Nick Offerman. That's Nick Offerman. I got four lines. And it's not the first time people came up to me and go, oh, are you Nick Offerman? I'm like, no, I'm not Nick Offerman. Why? Because I got bug eyes and a beard?
Well, you got like a D'Onofrio thing going on now.
Yeah. You look like Vincent D'Onofrio. I'm waiting for you to solve the crime. You have to look in the corners of the screen.
I'm already in a world of shit.
I did that show, and when he went to deliver the line to me, it was amazing. They'd go, and we're rolling, and he would go and go in a kit. Like, he had that weird way of
What show?
Criminal Intent.
Here is, if he was doing the podcast, it'd be like this, yeah, the whole show.
You know, like, but he's not, really it's weird because he's, I don't know where he came up with that. But, like, he's just talking to me normal like this. And all of a sudden they go into the scene. He's like, that's a thing. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, it freaked me out.
Just another guy with a fat face and bug eyes, all right?
Wow.
That's when I had the full beard in. I got everybody would. Is that Galifianakis?
You have a plethora of looks.
Yeah. You never know what Mark Riccadonna you're going to get from one day.
Yeah, he has a lot of good looks with that beard.
There's always different hairs going on top. Beard.
Mark's like that thing, you know, remember that face with the magnet and you could pull the beard pieces onto his beard? That's Mark Riccadonna.
Roach, do you remember? I still think about this all the time. When I was trying to learn how to shoot and edit, you came into the city a few times and shot those drunken idiot shows with us.
Yeah, with Clint. Remember?
Yeah.
Clint? Yeah.
So I have my tallest friend I know. How tall are you, Roach?
6'6".
And I have my shortest friend I know who's like 3'5".
Oh, great guy.
And the two of you are doing a scene together at a bar.
Yeah.
And he has the deeper voice, this raspy Long Island accent. Clint is the bigger man. Dick. Which I believe.
I went there, Roach.
And you played like a serial killer guy who
at
loved
the bar, and he came over to me, and he's like, "Thanks, big guy," and he like high fives me. Can I tell you something? What I remember about that shoot, and I felt like such an ass. I know that Clint's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island. I said, "Hey, man, I drove here. If you wanna, I'll give you a ride home." He's like, "Nah, I drove," and I was like, "You." Okay. I think I was like I was at a loss of words. I'm like, how the fuck is this guy driving a car?
When we were doing all that stuff, we were shooting a lot of stuff for a while, just trying to learn. And I couldn't afford film school, so I just fucking did it on my own.
Vinny Nardiello.
Yeah, we had a good time, man. But then we would come out to Long Island, do shows with you, and I remember Clint just always wanted to know when you were going to be on. Always wanted to come see you, man.
I always love Clint when he's drinking a bottle of Bud and it's like the size of his torso.
He's about to become a daddy.
Is he really?
I'm a Papa Bear, yeah, man.
I know he built a new house. I also know he's a big Islander fan.
Yeah.
Good dude. What a good dude.
I can't thank you enough. You would come all the way in from Long Island to come shoot, you know, stuff that we knew wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right, but he wouldn't do our podcast.
No.
Well, this was before he had any kind of heat.
I was just trying to do your podcast when I had a set, trying to, like, kill two birds or, you know.
Right. He's now, him and Don Jameson.
But it was funny that suddenly – he wouldn't do the podcast till it fit his schedule. There's a pandemic. We're doing it like this. We're getting all big names. Suddenly on the live comments, Chris Roach. Hey, you guys, I'm available. Hey, me. Right here.
I'm listening to every podcast. What the fuck?
I'm a big fan.
Why are these guys just humming over me? I have to admit, and Don's one of my best friends, but at least you would be honest about Don would always go, yeah, talk to Richie and see if you can get me on the show. I'll come in. Talk to Richie Tink and I'll make it happen. Yeah. I can get people spots like that. Yeah, Ron
would at least go, I'm not coming in unless I have a spot.
You know, from Ronkonkoma, it's like an hour and a half drive. And I'm like, let me try to at least get a spot out of the thing.
Well, we even got Joey Cola to come in. And he had, you know, he had to do Rachel like 3 days later. So it was hard to believe he actually... You ever talk to Joe? Hey, I want you to do the show. I got Rachel. When? In June. All right, Joe. Thanks. All right. Lucky I have to sleep for like 3 days before he does a warm-up gig.
He gets up like early. Who am I talking to?
Right. Yeah.
What time do you get up to do Oz?
4:30.
Your alarm goes on 4:30?
Yes.
Oh, I think I might go. Lately, I've been going to bed at 4:30.
Well, that's the hard part, bro, is that... Just because, you know, especially we have a 4-month hiatus where you go right back into comedy time, you know.
Right.
You before I know it, I'm not going to bed till 4 in the morning. And then, you know, all of a sudden, that's all got to change.
So the first day back must be tough.
It's brutal.
And the worst is when you're trying, you know you have to get to sleep, but you can't get to sleep.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, forget it. When I was younger, I used to be able to take 8:30,
no matter what. It's the weirdest thing.
I could take a sleeping pill, change my clock like that. Like, oh, you got to start getting up at 5 a.m. for shit? Like, okay, I'll just at 7 o'clock at night, I take a sleeping pill the night before. And then all of a sudden I wake up at 5, well rested. And then all of a sudden my clock's changed. I'm good for that schedule.
Really?
Like, okay, now I'll just stay up longer one night and fight it. And I'll go back to the comedy schedule. Now? Forget it. I can only do what my body tells me to do that day. And it never agrees with what I need to do.
I don't. I've gotten to the point now where I don't kid myself anymore. Like if I have a flight or something like that, I won't try to make myself go to sleep. I'm like, it's gonna happen or it's not gonna happen. You know, there were times where, like we had like say a 7 a.m. call time on Kevin's show, and I'm like, I can't get to bed till like 4, and I gotta wake up at 5. And but in between, there's a lot of downtime. So in between takes, I would tell like someone, listen. You're going to hear a lot of noises coming through my dressing room. Yeah. Just, you know.
I'm not having sex with a bear. It's how I sleep.
Yeah. Oh, I'm allowed to snore, too. I was really looking into, because one of the producers, his office was on the other side of my dressing room. And I would say to him, listen, I just have to apologize in advance. I'm a loud snorer. And I'll be sleeping in between takes, or I sleep at lunch. I was looking into soundproofing. I was going to soundproof the office just to spare people my... Whatever. And I can't wear a mask because then I'll the sleep apnea machine, I'll have like strap marks on my face.
Oh, Rob, baby.
You've been a great guest.
You're thank awesome.
You. We really want to have you back in the next pandemic.
Yeah. I'm going to right now ask you back so we can maybe get you on by the 200th episode.
I don't know why you guys didn't ask me sooner.
I think you got asked in week 2.
We had Greg Vaccarello watching tonight. Did you see that?
Yeah, back in the house.
Good man.
Back. We had Barbara Trump, Marina. Don Barbara. Got some good people watching.
I love Barbara.
We love you guys. Thanks for watching.
Roach, stay on when we go off.
This is Chris Roach. That's Richie Byrne. I'm Mark Rigadonna, and that was Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Last call. Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.